I want to call to order the May 26, 2015 Finance Committee of the Whole, which will now come to order. Mrs. Gust, will you please call the roll?
Mr. Escalante?
Yes, here.
Mr. Buckholz?
Here.
Mr. Alex? Mr. Elder?
Here.
Mr. Lipinski?
Here.
Ms. Clark?
Here.
Ms. Nelson?
Here. Our discussion item for today is the review of the 2015-16 tentative budget, and Paul will lead the discussion. Oh, I'm sorry. Public participation, my mistake. Is there anyone present that would like to address the board at this time?
Mr. Cooper?
Okay, thank you. Mr. Cooper?
Good evening. You're all familiar with the fact that District 41 taxpayers pay the employee contribution part of the TRS pension benefit for some administration and for all school principals and all teachers. Excluding Dr. Gordon and Ms. Pelson, this taxpayer-funded benefit costs District 41 taxpayers in the ballpark of $172,000 for school year 2014-15. I won't debate why this is wrong, just that it is wrong. It appears that a number of you, though, are ready to implement a solution, which could save taxpayers over $1 million in the first 5 years after total implementation. A three-year reduction plan could erase the taxpayers' obligation in the school year 2017-18. If it's too late to begin with 2015-16 contracts, then a two-year plan should be passed, still finishing the taxpayer obligation in 2017-18. I asked one of those that I've spoken with to please bring this matter up in tonight's full board meeting under other matters, with the purpose being to put it on the next board meeting's agenda. This is the right thing to do for those that you represent. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, back to discussion. Review of the 2015-16 tentative budget. Paul?
Well, first I want to thank the board, thank the Finance Committee of the former board for the direction, the conversations that we've been having over the last year, quite honestly, around the budget. So tonight we're here to present the draft, and I think it's really important to understand this is a draft of the tentative budget that we will propose to the board on June 22nd.
So you're saying this isn't final?
No. This is literally a draft of the tentative budget that we will bring back to the board on June 22nd. On June 23rd, that's the budget that will be posted for the public to view for the next 30 or 60 days, Bob?
Almost 60 days.
60 days. Okay, thank you. For the next 60 days. And it's interesting. It's really interesting to see how District 41 budget has evolved over the past 3 years. This nine-page budget was the year prior to me coming here. That we had, and this is very typical Illinois. I looked at many different districts, not within just the Glenbard feeders, but other budgets that are posted. Good budgets, but the budget that we've been talking about with the Finance Committee and other members who've come to that committee have really pushed the administration to look at ensuring that we're talking about each department, who being the personnel within each department and all costs associated within each department. It's been incredible. It is the right work. It's been an incredible amount of effort and time, and it's the right amount of time and effort being spent on it, because I think it gives the board and ultimately the community a much better view of how tax dollars are spent in D41. So from a nine-page budget to a 47 page budget, it is very different, but it's also important to know that in March, we had even further direction from the Finance Committee. Again, very appropriate. Seeing 2 years of actuals prior to running into the budgets, and then actuals again on the budget. Listing personnel within each department was very different than what current practice was or past practice of this district or any other districts that I was able to see. So I'm pleased with where we're at. It is a draft, and that's what tonight is for board members to give us even more feedback which we would bring back on June 22nd for the board to review one more time with us before we post it for public review. So that's where we're at. Tonight, what you're going to see, we're going to go through each of the departments. The departments will give you a brief highlights of their budget, and then they'll talk to you about certain aspects, different questions that you've brought forward. They will try to address those. But also, if your question has not been answered, answered, please ask. But within that department. So if we're in ELL, within the teaching and learning department, ask those questions at that time. And then as we move into technology, ask those questions at that time. So we have 7 minutes, and I'm 30 seconds away from my 7 minutes, to ensure that we get through every department and we have the right direction from the board as to where we're going. So we'll try to keep it moving along while still ensuring that we're getting you the answers you need as we go through it. The driving force is the board policy 420. Critical that we follow that. That's what you hold me accountable to, ensuring that we're delivering high-quality programs in a safe and secure learning environment, that our facilities are operationally sound and with fiscal constraints. So that's a board policy that we hold near and dear. The budget is a roadmap. I often talk to our principals about how when I go into a school, I know more about a school through their master schedule than oftentimes their mission and vision statements. It tells me what you value. This budgets tell the district what we value. You see our priorities. You see how we're aligning our work in the direction we're going. That is our roadmap. Important that we follow all of the budget, the school accounting, and the laws. And Bob is fantastic. He's always ensuring that, is that the school code? Is that Illinois state law? Are those the pieces that we have to, and that's how we have to report them through program or function codes that are really important. But for us, it's important that we connect to the long-range plan. You see the six goals there. You'll see those six goals highlighted in each of the department budgets as we go through. I'm going to hand it over to Bob. He's going to talk to you about those first pages around the district budget, starting on page 7. So he'll talk to you a little bit about the summary pages that we have, and then we'll move into the superintendent budget. Bob?
So I wanted to just talk briefly in terms of how I am required, or the district is required, to report its financial budget. First of all, we break our numbers up into a series of funds, which are education, and you obviously can read this, education, O&M, all the way down to Troy Community. Beyond that, we're required to report items according to their function code, and that could be general instruction, pre-K instruction, ELL, special education, gifted, whatever else that may be. And then finally, we're required to report financial items by object, and that is salaries, benefits, purchase services, supplies and materials, capital expenditures, and so forth. On this slide also, I would like to mention that Patrick did ask about the five-year financial plan and when that will be updated, and we'll be taking care of that as soon as we sort of tighten up these numbers as they are now, but we will update that five-year financial plan for you.
It
will on the June 22nd one.
It will.
So one of the things that we noticed is how closely tied we are to this budget, to that plan that we presented in January.
January 26th,
somewhere around there. I was really pleased that we were within $100,000 of that January target number, which then takes us out another 4 years from there. So that will be a part of the overall presentation packet on June 22nd. Any questions on that summary, on those first couple pages around the summary?
Are you going to get right into...
We're going to go right into the department. That's what I want.
So in the before the summary, we talk about the fact that fund balances have to be 25% of the operating expenses. And are we there right now?
We're going to be beneath that threshold once we finish these elementary school additions.
So we'll be beneath it at the end of this year?
I believe so, yes.
So then when we are, we're required to put together a plan to bring it back, and I think the plan is going to be very short-lived because without the elementary additions, we'll probably be right back to where we need.
Yes, and that operational goal was established 5, 6, maybe 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. It really was a threshold for boards or administrators to make a decision because we were accumulating such significant funds. Now we're committed to spending $15-17 million of that money to provide for these additions. So it'll be a rebuilding program of our fund balance.
Okay.
So can I ask those fund balances be part of that 5-year addition if you're adding that data in there?
They typically are.
Yeah, you'll put those in there, right, that shows us where we are. Okay.
Yep, great. And we have various scenarios. We don't have any idea what's going to happen with state revenue right now, so we've developed some scenarios or potential scenarios about how our financing could be affected in the months, years to come.
So you've done some pro forma stuff.
Yeah, so for the 5-year plan, we've taken into account Senate Bill 1 in its current legislative form, mm-hmm. as we know it today. We've looked into the cost shift around the TRS, and then we also included the GSA reduction. So we have those included in the 5-year that we'll bring to you.
Okay.
And nothing has been decided in the state of Illinois, so we're probably going to hear something after July 1st, is my best bet. Yes, Drew.
Well, I know the 25%, isn't that also tied into the reporting agencies and the bonding?
Well, the higher your fund balances are, the better your financial rating is going to be.
That's part of the profile. That's
helpful. Thank you for sending
it. Okay.
So that's part of it.
Okay.
So the superintendent's office. Sorry.
One second.
No.
I think we're going to.
We're starting 7.5 minutes.
Yeah.
So
I appreciate it.
So I did ask a question about, and I don't know if it's best asked at a macro level or in these tab levels, but on page 10. I asked about the purchase services.
Mm-hmm.
We're at 23% increase over the 2014 actual.
Right. That has to deal mostly with a lot of the work that went on sort of pre-construction for the elementary school additions and then some leases that we took on. That makes up the majority of that 23% increase.
So the borrowing of the 7 and the transfer of fund balances.
Correct.
Okay, hold on one second. So the 23% increase
includes pre-construction work like architectural services or construction services that we incurred prior to that occurred in 13-14 versus when the construction actually took place, and in a number of leases that have been brought on over the years, too.
All right, but I guess I'm confused about that, Bob, because we're actually $3.1 million for 15-16 and 2.5. So if those costs were prior years, why are we going up $601,000 in a 15-16 budget, which is a 23% increase?
That's based off of 13-14, and that's for work to finish up those elementary school additions now. That includes purchase services for FGM's final work and then work to be completed by FQC as we finish up this year.
Okay.
And then, as I said, the lease costs have increased over the past couple of years also. That's part of what's in the education fund.
Bob, I'm almost positive. I know the answer to this. But on page 7, the shortfall, that is attributed to the 4 additional classrooms and virtual.
That's the bulk of the work. But I also had to, after speaking with our auditors and so forth, June 30th is the end of our fiscal year. Any expenses that occur any expenses that occur as a result of ongoing construction that are actually going to be incurred next year, I needed to budget those this year or next year also. So you have any remaining expenditures left from the projects that occurred during 14-15, and then the new addition at Churchill, which originally we projected at about $2.8 million, and I spoke with FQC today, and they tell me it's going to come back at about $2.6
million. Okay. So this negative, I know in policy, we're not supposed to have a negative
deficit.
Deficit spent.
So is there something we need to say or do to address this so we're covering ourselves?
Well, I think it's just like the fact that we're dropping below 25% in terms of expenditures. What we do is it's 25% of this year's or projected expenditures over the projected, what am I trying to say? You were supposed to maintain a 25% balance over the following year's operating expenditures. And because of the significance of our spending plan with the relation to these elementary additions and the significant increases, we'll drop below that threshold. Now, the board made a conscious decision as part of these additions to fund them through fund balances, or at least partly through fund balances. So we borrowed $7 million, and then we budgeted $7 million out of fund balances. And now with this new addition at Churchill, we're projecting to spend approximately $2.5, $2.6 million out of that. And as I recall, the board's request was spend X number of dollars on for the Churchill addition. That's sort of out of allowances and contingencies in terms of the current budget. And then I should budget $1 million out of this year's expenditures through interfund transfers. So the program here, the plan is to transfer $1 million from the education fund into the capital projects fund to fund this remaining project that the bids just came back on.
Right. Drew, to your point and the question about this 25%, when that was initiated, what was it, 5 years ago, like you said, the finance committee at the time, you know, brought that to the committee of the whole, the board, in order for us to be conscious of the conversations around what happens, you know, when is it important to take a step back and say it's important to fund this, and so by dipping down, you know, we're doing this consciously, and we're giving you direction out of, you know, operating budget or whatever. So that discussion was had by the finance committee prior, you know, when we were doing the construction. So it all, for me, goes back to that original intention, which is the board discusses why. Why are we doing this? And what's the intention behind it?
I think an important thing to remember here is the board never wanted to put itself in a situation where there was a built-in structural deficit. If we have deficits that are a result of a Board of Education-approved plan, such as building these additions, that was within that policy or administrative procedure, but not a structural deficit. I can't go on year after year and present you with something that's other than either break-even or a surplus.
Correct, yeah.
So just to piggyback on what you're saying, Bob, you know, if we consider whatever the dollar amount is as being extraordinary in that particular year, the $2.3 million negative, that deficit, if you take out what that number was in terms of the extraordinary expense for the capital project, we should reflect a surplus.
Well,
correct?
What we're saying here is there's approximately, given what we know in this presentation, we're projecting a deficit of $2.3 million. As I just stated, we're expecting that project to come in at about $2.6 million. So you would no longer have a deficit if we were to do that project or whatever the case may be. If you remove that number from your presentation, you're back in a surplus situation.
Right. So if you take that piece off, you no one would say that we were funding structural deficits.
I would say that.
That's the point I wanted.
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
I think part of that analysis is
put on page, Bob has on page 9. So we went back to the actuals in 13 and 14.
Right.
If you look at the capital outlays of $1.75 million, compare that to what we're budgeting of $6.6 million, the difference is roughly $4.9 million for that works.
Right.
Yes. So, if you look that out, if you're looking at what you average and comparable what you normally would spend in capital outlays compared to the extraordinary for next year, if you go back a year, you can see that it's a lot more.
It's even greater.
Greater, yeah.
I think that's the analysis for me that kind of brings all of it together.
The construction.
To try to normalize it.
He said during a normal year, we're only allocating between $1 million and $1.5 million with the capital projects.
Right.
So that would show, given the scenarios here, that we would still be able to move forward with those.
Okay.
So I guess, sitting here for the first time looking at this, and when was the last time we looked at this in a preliminary format and saw a shortfall?
Last year.
So because of construction.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because of construction.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And then next question, you're moving $1 million out of the Ed Fund.
Correct.
Towards construction costs.
Correct.
Is that a normal process?
I think of
Ed Fund as, you know, as we, you know, move dollars into kids and not the construction. So I'm just curious what the thought process.
It can be. The typical process when you're moving funds from Ed or O&M into capital projects, it's a two-step process. It goes from Ed. We recognize it as revenue in O&M, then transfer it out from O&M into capital projects. So it's a two- or three-step process that we have to have in place. And it's very similar to what we did last year when we transferred $3 million from working cash and $4.3 million from the education fund. Same type of process, just not as big a dollars.
And that exact amount is part of the board approval that was given in the spring?
That's correct.
Okay.
And we had a board resolution around it.
Yeah.
And the $1 million, so if we move that $1 million or we move $4.3 million, is that impacting kids?
Well, we have presented a budget thus far that has not gone in and directly impacted students. I can't say that we've ever had a conversation around our buildings or our department that says you need to cut $1 million in salaries or whatever the case may be that directly affects students.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say that we've ever had that conversation.
Mm-hmm. And then just to follow up, and forgive me again, first time. When I was on the park board, when staff gave us the budget, there were earmarks in there for these are areas that we're trying to save dollars. So it's hard for me. There may be within the departments, there may be areas they're trying to save dollars. But for me, looking at it, it might be helpful if that's the case to show those to me. You know, just because I'm looking at it and I can't tell. I'm looking at it and thinking, well, okay, we're just tacking on whatever we can tack on in revenue next year. We're going to go ahead and spend it. So we can show you where we made the adjustments. That would be helpful. So I'm not having to dig through to see, you know. To show me, hey, we actually made a conscious decision to and I'm not giving you a hard time about the deficit spending. That was five people up here that obviously made a conscious decision to do that. You're just moving the money around to make it work. So, yep.
But I will say that
we've
had conversations at Ad Team and Cabinet where we were looking to, you know, Karen, I think you pulled 200 and some odd thousand dollars of supplies and materials. The year before, she may have moved money out of purchase services. I mean, at one time or another, we've all reviewed our budgets and have had to consciously give up dollars out of our budget.
I don't doubt that's not happening. I'm sure it's happening.
You can find some of it in the comparative budgets. It's the one reason we're going back as far as we did. You can kind of see where line items are gone.
Mm-hmm.
But they may be reallocated, too.
But it's also reflected on page 10, where under like O&M expenses, you're seeing from 2014, we're down 32% from supplies and purchases for purchase services, and 20%. So from a district wide, they're decreasing expenditures 32, 20, 51% in those particular fund education expenses.
Sure. If you look,
transportation and debt services, we can't do too much, but
yeah,
from that direct hit, I think that's showing us at a district level that we've reduced some of these by 51%, 32%, 20%.
Hey, I guess I'd just like to see what it is. What, you know, that's great, Pat, if you get that number, but I'd like to see what it is, what we're consciously trying to save money on. So I can see that, because we control the money and have to make sure that that's the case. And like I said, I don't doubt that it's not occurring. It's just, you know, for me to make my, you know, I'm not a finance guy. I'm a marketing guy. I went into marketing because I'm not a finance guy. So for me, it'll be helpful to just see that kind of stuff. So okay, just moving forward.
One of the other questions I sent you was on state funding.
Yes.
Now, we have the budgeted numbers for 2015-16. What was 14, 15? What is actually being collected here?
Okay, year to date, first of all, a little background. We get 22 general statement payments a year. Right now, we've received payment number 19. We don't know if we're going to get 21 or 22 in the month of June. And then from the categorical funding, special ed and transportation and things of that nature, we just received within the past week or so, we just received the third quarter payments, which you would expect to have received in March. We just got them recently. And, you know, just from what I'm hearing, you know, they may leave general state aid prorated at about 87.5%, and they may push categorical funding instead of receiving it this year. They may push it to the next year, or they may eliminate it. And this is something we went through 4, 5, or 6 years ago with.
So what's the bottom line? What have we received today? 2.8 million, 2.6 million?
Yeah, around 2.8, 2.9 million.
So we were projecting right around 3, or we were budgeting 3.2.
Mm-hmm. Roughly. Yeah. So we're about 400,000 under what we budgeted.
Yeah. Yeah, so I know you're 7.5
million. Way up.
But just quick on the flip side of impacted kids on that, I recognize Kurt's position on that. But, you know, if you ask the kids in the new classrooms, they probably were impacted by it, positively or negatively. You have to ask them, but you can ask the teachers, too. So I do think those monies were spent moved to impact kids. Mm-hmm. If you disagree with it, that's fine. But there is that side of the other side of the coin that you presented. So.
Okay.
Last thing, Paul, from a macro level. Can we do a pro forma for 15 financial profiles as part of that?
Yeah, it actually comes from our auditors.
I know, but we can run some numbers right off these budgets. I mean, estimates. We're spitballing, mm-hmm. and I know these are audited numbers.
Okay, good. As long as we recognize the numbers here are
like
audited, they've been cleaned.
Kind of think what we're going to land on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bob, is that something that you can do, or?
I mean, it's division. It's
yep.
Pretty much division.
There was one other question asked Bob, but Bob did get back to me. He didn't said that. I'll get it back later. I just wanted to look at a breakdown of the salaries and benefits of instructional versus support.
Mm-hmm.
There's some information in here, but I wanted it broken down a little more.
Okay.
I had not put that in my questions, but one of the things I noted was that on page 8, I think it's helpful to look at, again, just from information perspective, our expenditures totaling up instruction and support is 90.5% of the budget. So it's this focus on, you know, where do we put the dollars? It's really in people and classrooms. So it's helpful for me. I think that's a great point that Joe's made, too, to have that breakdown.
Typically, we devote 80 to 85% of our,
right.
of our dollars to salaries and benefits.
Right. So it was. I mean, I just did my quick math on that, but I think it's good to see that in numbers.
Okay. As we move into the superintendent budget, my highlights: we look at the long-range plan. We ensure that long-range plan is being met within the superintendent's budget within the continuous improvement team, bringing people together to focus in on closing the achievement gap and ensuring that the board has the proper professional development that it needs to be able to do its work. One of those highlights are that III, ensuring that the board's attending those. We've had good attendance in years past. But that closing the achievement gap is really where CIT spends a vast majority of their time talking about how do we support our building leadership teams, how do we support our schools as we close that gap. I'll try to make mine a little bit shorter and sweeter. So any questions on the superintendent budget?
Not on because we're starting it, but the 14-15 actuals, Bob, those are as of what date? 3/31?
I ran a report, I believe, on May 19th.
Oh, so,
so it's within the past week that I ran it.
Okay.
So good clarifying.
That's throughout the whole.
I appreciate that, Patrick. So the actuals are about a week and a half ago.
So those are 12 weeks.
Yeah.
Not even that old.
Not even that long.
Yeah.
So roughly 10-month numbers.
Yeah. As of, let's say, the middle of May, so 10.5-month numbers.
Okay.
Now keep in mind that we have teachers that are paid over 19, 20, and 24 pays. So what I do during the month of June is we actually run 11 payrolls so that they're all paid out by June 30th, and we adhere to TRS reporting requirements. So it's got to be done by June 30th, but we actually pay that money out in July and August.
Like, I have a question.
Oh, ask away.
I'm the newbie, so
you're good.
I'm supposed to ask detailed questions.
You can.
So, like, I'm looking at purchase services for CIT. It looks like we haven't spent anything in that this year. Is that something we just gave up to put funds somewhere else because we budgeted it for next year, but there's a dash in there for this year?
No, we have spent funds on through the BLT and other support. So we'll look at that one again for us. I appreciate the details. Any other on the superintendent? Nancy, I'm looking at you on that piece, just making sure that we note that one on mine. Thank you, ma'am.
I'm going to ask, since I don't have a question on your budget, can I go back?
You can't spend my time on the previous board.
Can I have 3 minutes of your time to go? Because I had a question on transportation. I had given Bob this in the email. I was looking there was an increase in purchase services of $63,570.
Right.
So I'm going down to detail here.
What page
are
you
on? What page?
11. Because I wanted the breakdown to see there was a contractual increase on the buses, there was a time of day increase that we discussed during that discussion, and also last meeting, I'm expecting somewhat of a decrease in transportation for the students not going to Case that would be going to Ben Franklin. I just wanted to look at those three and see the breakdown. I'm fine if I get it later, but
okay.
I just wanted to let everybody know that I asked for that.
I think I've got those numbers for you. The increase due to the contract is 1.5%, so it's about $19,000. We budgeted about the balance between 63 and 19 is what we anticipate spending on the extended school day, if in fact that actually occurs, because we're going to be monitoring our routes very closely to make sure that we're getting our best bang for the dollar there. And then finally, we talked as Ed Council and Cabinet in terms of expenditures associated with special ed and SEPTRAN. That's who provides our special services, transportation, and we're not really sure what the cost savings may look like at this time, just because we're still going to be transporting all those kids, whether it's to a District 41 school or an outside or an outside school. So I don't really know the numbers, what that's going to look like yet.
Understood. Thank you.
All right.
Same page.
Going back to page 7. The operation and maintenance number. Why would you budget the deficit the way it is?
Okay, page 7.
You're showing.
Yes, I'm showing this $496,000 expenditure there. One of them is because of professional services that were out of that fund.
Okay.
And I'm allowed, I'm by law able to run a deficit in a particular fund just so long as I don't dip below, let's say, a negative fund balance.
Okay, I'm just curious in terms of, I know you can do it. I mean, by law you can do it. I'm just curious why. Because it would seem that all the other numbers pretty much line up.
Uh-huh.
And I understand the capital project number and why it is the way it is. I understand the education and the shifting things around, but I'm just struggling to understand why you're running the deficit in that area. Is it something you've historically done? Is it?
Yes, we have done that before.
Okay.
And O&M is one of the funds that we have a little bit of a difficult time assessing every year. That's always one that's pretty close in terms of whether it's in a surplus or a negative. And just to give you some idea, it wouldn't help this number, but there are things that we budget out of the O&M fund that maybe should be budgeted out of the education fund, and we chose to budget them in another spot. Am I answering that question for you? I mean, we have small deficits. Now, obviously, $496,000 is not a small deficit, but we have a deficit in transportation, a small one in municipal retirement fund, and then obviously a large one in capital projects.
Yeah, those all make sense. Like I say, I'm just trying to understand. Unless this is kind of your fudge number that you can use that for other things that come up.
I'd like to use that
term. Better than that term.
And I guess I go back to my question. Why do we do that?
Maybe, Bob, you could go back in and look at run those numbers again and bring it back.
Having a one-on-one conversation on that piece and bring it back for the next board meeting.
We'll make a note.
One of the last pieces on mine, kind of going to what Kurt recognized in the superintendent budget, we did not look to replace Nancy's position, as Nancy took on the executive assistant to the superintendent of the board. So that was one position that we chose not to. We chose to reorganize within the CSO staff. So moving on to TLA, because we are way behind.
So Kate and Michelle and I will kind of share this page and just share kind of from our different departments in that with kind of the respective line items in that. And so we just are kind of highlighting some of the main areas within our budget. Obviously, curriculum and instructional resources would be a big area, particularly for the TLA budget, anything to support implementation of the curriculum in that. The three of us do work collaboratively, though, to ensure that we're as tightly aligned to the gen ed curriculum as possible within both ELL, dual language, and in special ed as well. In regards to staff, each of us will kind of highlight, and we would like to draw some of the questions that had come up within our different budgets around that. What was that?
The spider. Yeah, the spider on it.
Sorry.
We have other plagues set up for the evening. Sort of our fun.
But one of the questions was about the difference in the budget between from 13-14 to the present and that. And so I have the four PBL coaches are within my budget, and so that was that increase we saw there. Back then, at that time, though, I had kind of pulled out $200,000 of my budget to help offset the cost of the four PBL coaches. Right. And they're kind of living within my budget since they're supporting all four of the schools. I mean, kind of two
connected. I think we had a long discussion about that last year.
We did. And then there was another question, too, with math and literacy coaches in that. We are hiring one additional math coach this year. And again, I pulled out $100,000 out of my current budget to cover that cost, and then that will provide one math coach and one literacy coach at each of the schools. Prior to that, Franklin and Forest Glen were sharing a math coach, so they'll each have their own starting in the 15-16 school year.
When you say coach, you mean
So one of those pieces, as we get into to the budget and the personnel within it, one of the pieces that we've recognized and a couple of you have recognized is ensuring that we have, as we've transitioned into this type of budgeting, it's very different where every school is accounting for each person that they own and every department accounting for each person that own is the wrong word, but that falls within their budget. It's ensuring that there's no duplication in counting of personnel, so we spend a lot of time in that area, but we still have to do one more check through on all of those pieces. So next week, each of the principals will be having a sheet that will talk about each individual that is in their school and the FTE allotments, because some people are a 0.2 for a position. So ELL is one of those positions where it's a 0.2 over here. We want to ensure that there's no one else counting them as a 0.2 in their department. So we're going to do one more audit of all personnel within the district and which budget they land in, because this was a big one in March. This was the biggest ask for from the finance committee of saying, why are PBL coaches sitting over here? Why aren't they here? So we need to ensure, especially within the English language department and special ed department, that the schools and the department are ensuring that they're counting them the exact same way. And the FTE allotment from a 0.2 or 0.6 is the correct allotment for each department, and it's not a school responsibility, but it's a department responsibility.
Where's the math coach end up then?
Math coach?
Building level.
So one of the things we looked at, because it was a great question that you guys asked, was how do we assign people? And it was really around the direct report. So if a principal does that evaluation, we really try to ensure that the principal has that within their budget. So Katie evaluates different people, so those people will be in hers, same as we look at Karen's budget with the PBL coaches.
I think it was a good adjustment because it's really under the
It was a really good adjustment, but one that...
more focused on who you're responsible for. It keeps your eyes on also the roles and responsibilities, which I think was a big piece for me when we were talking about it, so I appreciate that.
So between the spider and me... we've disrupted you twice now, so.
Katie and Michelle are going to talk a little bit about their staff and who reports to them, who's falling within their budget.
So under the ESL bilingual budget for departmental sales gallery.
Oh, I apologize. We're on the next step.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we'll kind of go back and forth.
Flipping through. So now we're just talking about staff, the salary.
Oh, sorry. I can go back to this.
Yeah.
Okay.
So under my salaries would be the ESL, the bilingual, the foreign language, and the dual language. And then you'll see further down in my budget, there's a line item for salaries, which is for pre-K and for birth to three. Pre-K, I know a question came up about how early childhood works, and Michelle and I actually split that staff. So the pre-K at-risk staff are within my budget, but the early childhood special ed staff would be under Michelle's budget. That's the same with their instructional aid. The parent liaison, Gabby Hernandez, also falls under mine as well, but she's grant-funded. And then there was a question about the FTE for foreign language and if we are at the max for the FTE or if we're going to be hiring more when we're in full implementation. We currently are at 8 staff members, and we were projected at the rollout of the program to have 10. We're reevaluating and looking at that as foreign language is rolling up to see if we can sustain the program at 8 or if indeed we would need that 10. And that's due to the block schedule and the enrollment of students. So that's something we're continuing to look at. But right now we're...
preliminary, it's looking like 8 we can hold.
8 right now.
But...
that's in the 25 number?
Under your staffing, are those
is that 8 or 10 in there?
In 15-16, there's 8.
It looks like we're adding. Are we adding 3 more next year for Spanish?
We're adding 4 foreign language. It would be 1 for each building.
And then I know maybe we may have sent this to Paul earlier. I'll backtrack a little bit. Could I see at some point, not to get with you tonight, but could I see the cost for the PBL coaches, and then also
salary cost or
salary cost?
Okay,
yeah, total salary cost, and then also for the addition. I can't tell. Maybe it's $100,000 per person, but if you could let me know on the Spanish too. what the total cost is on that.
So there was a question also about it, and this might have been your question, that it looked like there was $400,000 for three plus teachers. It's four teachers, but when we went and looked, we estimated at $75,000 per teacher.
Okay.
Because we don't know what their salaries are going to come in at. And then that also includes the 2.7% increase for all staff salaries. So that's where that number came from.
Yeah, because I think we were just trying to add up teachers down here. Yeah, so that's where we were coming up with that. So, okay, that's good.
I don't have a total. This doesn't total to the bottom.
17 rolls into 18.
Right.
Those would be at the bottom of page 18.
That's just.
That's all you know. We wrote it out because it was pre-K.
We did.
So on the second page, you'll see that's pre-K and birth to three salaries and all of their line items for a total. And then on page 17.
It's two separate budgets
because pre-K is district funded and it's separate than the language programs of ESL, bilingual, dual, and foreign language.
Okay.
So those are separated out.
Is the staffing on here for the pre-K?
Yeah. It would be on page 18.
And that's that shared piece between her and Michelle.
So Michelle, do you want to talk about it?
Sure.
You can answer both those questions.
The special education tab and the staff members that are included within teachers, there are actually six different categories. So our special ed teachers are learning behavior specialists, which include a resource teacher or self-contained teacher. Half of the blended special education teachers, half are with me and then half are with the pre-K. And then our early childhood self-contained teachers. That's 24 staff members, but 23 FTE. And then we have six psychologists, but actually 5.6 FTE, seven social workers. We have 7.5 speech and language pathologists, one of whom we actually have a purchase staff through CASE. We have three certified school nurses, and then 31.5 special education aides. If you're wondering about OT, PT, and adaptive PE, all of those staff members are purchased staff through CASE, so you wouldn't see that included in your for salaries and benefits of purchased staff.
Michelle, if I'm reading this correctly, from 2014-15 to 2015-16, we're staff neutral. So same number of teachers, FTE, 45.10, 31.50 for aides, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And then embedded in that, as you said, are those others that are through CASE, so we don't have them show up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then someone also asked a question regarding tuition out of district.
Yeah, that was my question. Yeah.
So we've reduced that public school tuition from $1,550,000 down to $1,002,000, and the private tuition from $720,000 to $600,000 as a result of bringing kids back.
I was going to say, my note to myself was, I'm assuming it's a change with our six children coming back.
I have a question just about the salaries for both of you. Sure. Staffing hasn't changed, but yet the salaries, at least not for bilingual ESL, but for pre-K to birth, the salaries are going down, as well as in student services. So I'm trying to figure out if the staffing is going to change, and then you've got...
Person who's at a higher salary retires, and we bring them in with someone who's maybe not at that same salary.
So it's just like replacing staff, but the
FTE doesn't change, right? Exactly, yeah.
When we go through this process of retirements, we typically budget somewhere between $55,000 and $75,000. in a place of a position that may have a salary of X number of dollars.
Okay.
So we recognize savings as retirements occur.
Okay.
I had a question on page 18, but it's under transportation, so tell me when that.
Okay. I just kind of highlight a few more things. So each professional notice will have professional development dollars designated in our budgets and that. And so we set money aside for people to attend conferences and that. There may be times where we identify something we want a certain group of staff members to attend, and we try to cover that rather than the building, things like that. But then when they request, or adult teachers and other staff members will find something they want to go, we kind of handle it on a case-by-case basis. And we work together with that team just to kind of determine last year, you know, just some of those typical questions.
Sure.
And then we also have mandates by law for ESL and bilingual to offer PD to our staff. And so we try to use the grant money first for consultants and to do the professional development that way. But at times when we're not able to do that, or when the grant funds are less than expected, at times we have to take that out of the PD dollars.
Mm-hmm. We also have different supply accounts in that, and that's really just to kind of support teachers with the implementation of the curriculum. Some of that we'll do just for efficiency's sake instead of all four buildings buying it off and around the science labs and things like that. It just makes more sense for us to purchase that here on behalf of all of the buildings and things like that. Katie's going to talk a little bit about translation, and then we'll hit some other things. But and then we can maybe go. Or Patrick, do you have a question for TLA?
Yeah, and I think I know the answer, but I'm going to let you tell me what the answer is. On page 16, we haven't had line three, I guess. We haven't had purchase services over the last four years, but we're putting in 20,000.
Well, actually, so if you go down to where it was 11607, purchase services, and it said curriculum development, that's where a lot of the money had been. Do you see the 15,000? Mm-hmm. And it's really not about curriculum development, because we haven't been bringing in people to develop any curriculum in that. I put it more up in just with district. And
okay.
It's things, you know, like Robin Crown and some of those things. So it was really, I just kind of had moved it from that.
Because it's a more
it's
accurate,
more accurate
description.
So that's why special ed and the other ones now, purchasing services, are down to zero?
Well, it's...
Because you decided to do it at the district level?
Well, I mean, I just kind of put it in there. Do you guys not have purchases? They probably do for some.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking more of the things that that as a district we might do. You know, Robert Crown comes to mind. Aaron's Law is another one we're required to do, and we pay the Y to come in and do that program. Those kinds of things.
All right. Well, I don't know why, but I'm seeing zeros. But if you guys said
so, mine is under is actually through the grant. So my purchase services would be like our sheltered instruction training, consultants that we hire for bilingual and dual language.
Oh, don't get me wrong, I'm invited.
But mine is an asterisk because those grant dollars haven't come in yet, so we can't allocate those funds to those line items as of yet.
Okay.
But you can see the spending that's occurred year to date
through federal
for this
funds.
Current year in the federal funds, yeah.
Specifically translation too.
Yeah, so the other line item, we actually have two line items for translating.
What page are you on?
17.
Thank you.
We have an extra duty account, and we also have a translation services account. The extra duty account is for any internal staff that we have that translates during conferences, parent meetings, IEP meetings, any translating and interpreting that would be done by our internal staff. And then the translating services is a contracted service that we have for our low incidence languages that we don't have internally within the district. So like for Burmese, Nepali, some of those other languages that we can't support here within the district. And that's a mandate by law. We cannot take that out of the grant dollars. because it would be considered supplanting the federal and the state government deal that that's a responsibility that needs to be owned by the district. So that's why we have to pay for that out of district funds versus using grant dollars to do that.
Questions of the three?
So we added one specialist. Was that we added
one?
And Karen, correct me if I'm wrong, you reallocated funds within your department to cover the cost for... Yep.
That's a quick question. We had food supplies for the district for pre-K, and we're at a, you know, less than our budgeted year-to-date here, 10 months in. This is line 114.36 on page 18 across on the food supplies. But why the bump in the number?
So it's not a bump in the number. It's actually we consolidated two different line items.
Okay,
they had it allocated in a grant account and a district account. We don't get grant funds for that.
So the one underneath it.
So we added the two together.
Got it.
That's where that number came from.
Thank you.
There was one other thing I wanted to highlight in relation to special ed funding that because we get federal dollars, there's a maintenance of effort component to that grant, and all that means is legally, we're required to maintain that same fiscal effort in special education year to year. So we wouldn't legally be allowed to make a significant cut to our special ed programming, and that's monitored by the government each year.
In the staffing or the funds?
Overall, in what we use to from our local dollars to fund special education. There are a couple exceptions to that. If there's a huge retirement, and that's the reason for it, or if there's a very expensive student that graduates on.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, there are very few limitations to that exception.
HR?
We're going to talk about federal and state grants to start with. And part of this is my responsibility this year, Title I and Title II. Michelle works with IDEA. Katie works with Title III and then TBE, TPI. Title I is federal funds that come to us from the government, and it's designed to kind of level the playing field or to ensure services for students, for all students to have a fair and equitable opportunity. They look at free and reduced lunch numbers. Most of all, they look at student academic performance. But right now, Churchill is our Title I school. We received approximately $280,000. In Title I funds last year. They've been used to fund aids in kindergarten grade one, an aid in kinder dual language, Spanish reading aid, supplies and materials related to Rising Star, and Send Off, Learning Together. We'll be carrying over some of those funds from this year to next year and putting together a plan with Churchill to expand those. Title II is another federal grant, and that's really aimed at professional development and improvement. So the intended purposes are to increase student academic achievement through improving teacher and principal quality, increasing the number of highly qualified teachers, and holding schools accountable for improvements. We received about $97,000 in that grant last year. We used it to pay for salary and benefits for one of our new teachers for training in SIOP. I partnered with Sadie on that. And then we do need to set aside some of those funds for private school for use for professional development. So we set money aside, and I work with St. Pat's on that. We haven't put any funds into the 15-16 budget yet because we haven't gotten our allocations yet. We were at a workshop, I think it was a week and a half ago, that the state held on Title I and Title II, and they said we would have it last week, but they haven't come in yet. They're expecting it to come in at approximately the same amount as this year.
In that total? Same amount?
Yes.
What is it?
$280 for Title I, $197 for Title II.
So your budget's roughly $366 lower.
Right.
In total answers.
Right. Yes.
And then IDEA is a federal grant that governs how special education and related services are provided for students with disabilities. We get about between $600,000 and $700,000 from the federal government to fund special education.
To the excitement of federal grants.
Then we have the Title III grant, which is the federal funds for ESL and bilingual. We use those funds to support, for our support staff salaries for professional development, and for our parent outreach in the district for our ESL and our bilingual families. And then TBE TPI is our state funds. We use those for a few of our dual language staff salaries and one of our ESL salaries. There's one additional grant, the Preventative Initiative Grant, that we also get from the government, and that covers our 0.5 baby and knee salary for our staff members.
Any questions on federal and state grants? It's a lot of information.
We don't publish those grant numbers in these budgets, do we?
They're the ones with the asterisk.
Is that what the asterisk?
Yeah.
Those are the line items that would be connected to the grant.
And in the case of IDEA, because we're part of CASE, CASE actually manages that grant.
So it's for some, we do, but IDEA, we CASE, and then we set it up as a flow through.
We do a sub grant for our proportionate share of IDEA, which is a very minimal.
$20,000.
So would it be confusing to the board if we put grant monies under somewhere a sub line item so we can see what the actual expense is to the budget over and above that?
So in other words, pull them out of the overall, have a separate.
That's why I was going back to page 7 and 8. Are they part, I'm assuming they're part of those revenue sources, right?
Well, that's the question. Are they part of the revenue sources that are presented at the beginning of the budget? If they are, is there this number of when we're reading these little asterisks?
Right.
So
are they overall? Yes. Yes.
Overall, they
so are. We will put them in.
Okay.
Not apples to apples if you don't have what your projected expenses are. Because you're projecting what the revenues are, and you're matching those to the expenses. Therefore, whatever you're projected at the beginning should be met at this point so you projected in the expenses. So you can have apples to apples.
So we'll have that included within each of the budgets, the grant allocation.
I had a quick question on transportation. It's on page 18. It's 432 is the key. We're at that $64,000 area. We're budgeting for the same amount. And I guess I was just wondering how we, is that federal, are those federal dollars that we get? I know that we lost our transportation dollars many years ago, so this is all self, this is our internal operating budget. And do we see that as needing to change for next year in terms of our census or anything like that? It looks like it's you're keeping it flat.
We would keep enrollment the same rate.
Same, okay. Mm-hmm. Good. So that's not going to change at all.
I have one question for you, John.
Yeah.
I think it's important to explain the unassigned staff.
Yeah, part I had that question.
Well, that's part one. Part two is this year we're showing no activity in that. So how is
and there should be activity in that.
Yeah.
So you go for it.
We actually had an aide or maybe two, a part-time, meaning half FTE aide or employee come into that.
So Larry, talk to us about what an unassigned.
So highlights of the HR budget. One is that unassigned staff are the contingency piece. When we do RIFs at this time of year and in March, we really try to be pretty conservative because we know we can add on, but we can't take away. Does that make sense? After a certain deadline.
There's a reduction in force.
Right. After a certain deadline in March and April, we cannot say to someone, oh, by the way, you don't have the job next year that we promised you because the law doesn't allow us to do that. So when we do any kind of reduction in force in March and April, we have to go down to what we think will be the leanest that we'll be projecting forward. So does that make sense? So with class size targets, we're staying tight. With ESL and special ed projections, we're staying tight. So we need some funds somewhere in the event that we don't stay as tight as we projected to be in the spring. Again, taking that conservative approach. So that's why we put that basically an equivalent to two full-time teachers and their plus benefits. Bob and I have worked together on that for the last 22. Couple of years. Bob, I think it's been in, maybe it's been in a different account number previously.
Yes,
you were going to talk a little bit about that.
Well, Lori hasn't typically accounted for it under her budget, and we've had it. Matter of fact, I had it under other expenses.
And that's why it didn't show up in 2012?
That's correct.
That's why it didn't show up in Lori's budget.
Okay.
And the reason, the number one reason that you would go into that account is because of student enrollment increasing?
Correct. And like, for example, last year we did have to add a 0.2 PE teacher, 0.17 at Churchill, to cover kindergarten PE because we couldn't cover with the number of teachers and the number of sections that came in at Churchill. So that's one example where we had to do an increase. If we have a new student move in who needs a special ed aide and we can't handle it with our current staff, that's where we would dip into that and you know, bring in an increase. So we need some funds in there because we try to be super conservative when we do our RIF. And we're really trying to set up the budget and the salaries based on who we have here, projecting them forward, you know, tracking retirement, tracking increases, and really kind of tightening that whole piece up. So other pieces in, sorry, were there other questions on that? Well, that was a great question, by the way. Thank you to all of you. Some other things that are under HR is professional development. And Karen talked a little bit about professional development. What we plan for are the institute days. So the professional development team is responsible for that. So six of those eight are typically planned by PDT. And so anything that would come through, you'll see in that line item. Now, you don't see any money in there for next year. We're waiting for the Title II funds to come in because we do, you know, work with those to offset some of the costs. But that will be an adjustment that you'll see when the next round of budget comes through. Another thing that I like to put in here is the compliance piece. There are a lot of things that we have to do in terms of criminal background checks, paying unemployment insurance, offering immunizations to staff who've been exposed to bloodborne pathogens. If we have a concern about a fit for duty, we can require someone to get a physical exam at the district's expense. So that's why you're seeing some of those items in there that you're probably thinking, like, why would we have dollars set aside for staffing immunizations here within the district? That's what it's related to. Another thing, area I wanted to comment on is wellness. You'll see a large amount, $22,000, and that was actually an incentive that came back to us, and those funds came from our insurance cooperative. Mm-hmm. It was a three-year incentive program that they have offered, that if we have 50% of our staff participating in the panel C, they'd give us a check for 1% of the premium. So we worked with our staff, with our wellness task force. We hit that target 2 years in a row. There's one more year left on the program, so we've used that for employee wellness. So that's not, you know, money that's kind of come out of come from outside. So that's why that amount is in there. Previously, I think I budgeted like $300 in there because we were trying to do wellness on a shoestring because we know we're a public agency and we have to take care of our staff, but we have to be responsible about that too. Automated services is another area. There's $33,000 in that purchase services account. That's for our online application, our online teacher evaluation. We do some our online benefit enrollment. A couple other things in here that we use that for.
Where's that at?
It's under purchase services, human resources, $30,000.
That's the key number.
So that's one where we spend a lot of, you know, we do a lot of our automated systems come out of that purchase services account. And then I think that's it for the highlights from our budget.
Any other HR?
Just a quick question.
Sure.
Small amounts, but we have
staffing
additions twice. Is that
yes, that's
the
dude.
You're
right.
Yeah. We were twice as sick as we were last year. All right, we're going to transition into the schools then.
Yeah.
Quick
question.
Sorry,
Duke.
Go ahead,
sir.
Page 23. Mm-hmm. Is there a reason that there's nothing reflected in that budget? Are those items that could be in those prior years, are they reflected up on the prior page?
Are you talking about the title? The title budget? I can't speak to 12-13 or 13-14 because I wasn't, that grant was being managed by Julie Worthen at that point, and I'm sure she did a fine job of it, but I don't know, I can't speak to those numbers. But 14-15, the title funds are in there. Bob and I probably need to do a little making sure that we've got everybody in the right account because I did just recently amend that grant. And then 15-16, I think, was Joe's request that we have funds in there based on projected expenditures for next year.
So that's the reason it's not there is because
we don't know what the funds are coming in.
Yeah.
But we're going to put our most accurate projection in there.
Okay.
All right. Schools. I'm not sure who is taking the lead, but the schools are going to kind of present as one.
Sure. Well, we are very similar when you look at our budget. The things that we, the four elementary schools are definitely very similar. Steve is similar to us as a junior high. He's got an extra piece that maybe he'll talk a little bit about with the extracurricular. But if you look at our pieces in terms of professional development, being one of the pieces Karen mentioned earlier, that there are times that we do some things within our building that are, we see a need that we need to do, either send someone to a conference or to bring someone in to work with. Resources is a big part of our budget in terms of the supplies and things that we need for the day-to-day operations of the school. We all spend a good deal of our dollars on library, making sure that those books and that material are up to date for kids. And then we do have some department budgets as well. Steve has more, I think, than we do, but art, music, PE, we look for some certain things and colleagues if you want to join into that. But, so that's really the main focus of where our budget dollars are spent.
Steve, you want to add on?
Yeah, so with departments at Hadley's, you know, each content area has its own department, and they are a lot of money for supplies, equipment, small equipment, professional development of that nature. Some changing things with some of the line items there is like our library. Also, we're seeing fewer dollars needed to be spent on books, more money being spent on electronic media because of Chris Abbott and all the great things he's bringing to our website, online books, online media, things like that. So just like being aware of the trends and adjusting the funds that way. Our hands-on departments are always more, like our science lab, our music departments, our cooking and sewing departments, just those materials. Consumables cost more than others, so that's always those are always the larger numbers on that. Hadley's budget is really two, because we also have the activities and stipends that go with the sports. Mm-hmm. So that's a second part to it with that. You know, there is a number that was put out earlier in the year that we have over 700 of our students at Hadley are involved in some kind of after-school club or sport. So that just takes a lot of supplies. I mean, that's a fantastic number. It just requires a lot of supplies and folks to help keep that roll forward. There was one question about transportation. We do have a field trip account. It was budgeted at $5,000. We bumped that up to I bumped it up to $7,000 this year. That's really where we take a lot of our PBL field experiences out of. We take our eighth graders to Glenbard West a couple times to see the musical, things like that. So that's really, we don't charge the kids any money to do those trips. We just, that's something we provide for them. But there are, we do collect fees when it comes to some of our big field trips. You know, our eighth graders just recently went on their celebration cruise on Friday, and we collect fees that way, as well as some of our sixth and seventh grade trips at the end of the year as well. The budgeting part of that is really, I'm going to kick to Mr. Bob there and see if he can explain how the numbers
the collection of the fees.
Right, because there's a budgeted item. My question was around the actual activity, and I thought it was about PTA piece was involved in it as well.
And they do. Our PTA still helps fund our 8th, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade trips, and that's accounted for.
In that number.
Yeah.
So, like, there's the 8th grade field trip where they go down and tour Lake Michigan. You don't actually see the amount of fees that the kids that we collect from the students as a result of that, and that's around $15,000 of the $18,000 to $20,000 that it costs to put that program on, and typically the PTA will pick up a portion of that tab also. So I don't want the board to have the impression that they're taking a cruise to Lake Michigan for $20,000. That is supported by the PTA as well as students to the fees.
But we are going to look at it at a different way. Of recognizing those fees, because there is that $5,000-$7,000 that the district budgets for it, but then we do collect an additional close to $20,000 in parent and student fees there. So we're going to recognize it a little bit differently, so we can show you what the district expense on that on those field trips are. Any other school questions?
Please. One question that I sent to Bob. It just seems to be one number that pops off the page of the Hadley's most recently.
It's the employee benefits. It's going up by a disproportionate share relative to the building salaries. This is just a couple months.
And I heard your question, and I'm reviewing it now.
So we'll review that one and get an answer out to the full board. Thank you.
I do have a question. Paul, and does it, and I don't know how it was done. So did we just say we did 140 per student last year, let's do 140 per student this year, and then guys go jiggle your money where you want it?
So a little bit more in depth than that. A lot of conversations with the principals around how was that expenditure last year. How did we do with it, and feeling like it was a comfortable number. Actually, Steve, you reduced even further from last year, where the elementaries were already pretty tight, but Steve felt like he could reduce his per pupil allocation from last year. So we had those conversations.
I think Steve took $25,000 out of his overall per student allocation that we gave him.
Does that answer it?
Yeah, it does. Okay. But I guess my next question is, and sorry, guys, but when do we start feeling uncomfortable with the number? When do we start going to 135, 120? Mm-hmm.
What difference does that make in terms of what you're trying to accomplish?
When are we going to have those conversations? When are we going to push at the board to start having those conversations?
I think that's at peace when we look at our five-year and when the state make some decisions around Senate Bill 1, around all of those pieces that I believe are going to hit us mainly next year. We have to have those conversations. So I see it in a very near future. But feeling like for this year that we're in a good place, Steve recognized where he was at and was able to come back against the number from last year. So I think it's in a very near future.
Well, we'll be forced to do that, right? We'll be forced to do those numbers. Mm-hmm. We don't want to, I don't say self-force ourselves mm-hmm. to do that yet. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying, but I think we've self-forced in other areas. One of those areas within my office, one of those other areas is in Mike's department where we're not going to replace a retirement.
Right, I totally agree. Right?
Yeah, we have some other wares.
Right? So you guys, I mean, your staff is 20% of mm-hmm. the entire staff. So at the other 80%, will we be cutting our nose in spite of our face by starting to have these questions? Let's mm-hmm. just say Senate Bill 1 isn't even a conversation.
Yeah.
It's off.
Okay.
Do we need to start having those conversations? Like, okay, we need to go to buck 35 here and see what kind of numbers we're going to get.
We absolutely can. And that's a conversation that if you're not comfortable with these numbers here around the school allocation, the per pupil allocation, we're going to have those now. I see him for next year, definitely.
Aren't you just talking about $3,000?
Well, no, that's what I was about ready to do.
Hadley, it's a little bigger chunk.
Yeah, no, I know.
But if we go...
If he did it already, he was looking at the gauge in
five. I know.
Yeah. I mean, he's talking about $3,000.
If we go to 135 for all schools, the Alpha's $3,000?
Well, 600 first year, and some are lower, 600 Churchill, your higher
school. Yeah, but total, it's...
Yeah, 2,400 students.
Yeah. Right.
It's 3,000
per student. The other thing I'd also mention here is when you look at our total school budgets, as you guys know, most of it resides in staff.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
we look at a percentage of the rest of it, and it's about 2%, 2 or 3% of our total building budget.
So what's that next to value?
And some of it's less than 2%.
About 80,000 for Franklin School.
So let me what I heard.
The other thing I had, Jeff, is that if you notice on here, last year there's a new line item here for substitutes. So $7,500 came out of our budget as now part of the substitute budget.
Mm-hmm.
So we cut back last year in order to help pay for that. That came out of directly out of our budget. We did not increase. It was a way we had to find money to be able to pay for those subs. So we have. I mean, we are becoming leaner each. You know, as a result.
And in the 8 years I've been here, this is a lower number.
And that's a good reference point. I mean, obviously, that's the reference point.
Key questions.
The $3,000 is roughly 4% of their budget. Of their.
Yeah. What Kurt said is very important.
Right. I'm not lost.
Can you repeat that, Kurt? You're outside of staff and is...
Less than 2%.
I'll call it discretionary budget.
It is discretionary.
About 2% of the building budget.
Yeah.
So you're talking about $80,000.
But point taken, Patrick, in terms of looking at how's GSA and those other things, how it's going to affect us.
So it's 7:20, and we still need to make sure that we set up for the full board meeting, too. So we're going to probably need to end at about 7:25, 7:26 to give us a moment or two to do a bio and a few other things. So what I'm going to ask is that we go right to questions. We'll hit each buildings and grounds. We'll go right into your questions for each one as opposed to doing highlights to try to save a little bit of time. So put the questions to you on buildings and ground, if that's okay with the board. Or I apologize, FF&O. So we'll start there.
With FF&O?
Correct. Okay. Sorry, I skipped one.
Logical.
Thank you.
Sub-salaries increased by $94,000 roughly. I just want to know what that from last year, from what we projected. Well, actually, we went from 362 budgeted to 430. What was the cause of that increase?
On
page 38.
I am on
page
38.
Third line.
Third line. Third line. Third line. You know what we noticed this year? A lot of absences, a lot of long-term absences, a lot of family medical leave absences. That's what my office saw.
Okay. And in next year, we're projecting it even higher.
Just according to what we've realized already, yes. And this is the first time we've included extra duty stipends, sub-salaries, or temporary help in my budget, which is for lack of a better spot to put it. They're truly district expenditures.
Understood.
It is close to the 2012 number.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
The bump was 13-14.
Yes, it was.
There was a reduction.
Then we came to a reduction, and then we're back up again. That is a good note.
I know it was. That's why I highlighted it here. I listened.
Any other questions? B&G?
I just noted that we have a minus one FTE for Hadley custodian, so we're taking one custodian position out for Hadley. And that, and again, the way we've looked at staff, that would be just under the Hadley budget. Is it going to show up, even though it's underneath Dave's
correct,
area?
Correct, because
okay.
he over.
But this is one of those things you're going to audit to make sure it isn't double counted.
Exactly.
Double counted.
Okay. We had a large increase in electricity charges. What is that due to? Is that a rate increase, or is that just usage?
Just normal rate increases is per the contract, because we, Mike and I and Paul discussed it. We thought, you know, ongoing construction that's been happening year-round, as well as the increased use of affordable technology, and as well as additional use that our community desires, too. Our district and whoever else, what other groups.
There's no way we can monitor that, though, versus
studios. Well, our building's open at 7 o'clock in the morning. They're normally open until at least 10 o'clock at night per the park district.
I understand. I was just asking if there's a way to track
usage. Yeah,
if there isn't.
But it's something we can speak with our utilities and see if there is a different way of tracking that.
Okay.
And then someone asked a question about the building improvements for Hadley.
That was
that's
on
the
page 40,
system.
Yeah.
Backtalk.
Yeah, it's the backtalk system.
That 180 or 150? That 150.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Yeah, that was my two. Thanks.
Stephanie, I think you asked about some equipment at the buildings.
Yeah, the bottom of the 40.
Yeah, those are for the new sound systems we're installing, because the others were probably put in about 97. So the plan is three buildings this year and two buildings next year.
Any other?
Two corrects for right,
the budget.
Just to let you know, there's a two in there for 2014-15 budget.
Hi.
$2.
Thank you. Franklin, don't overspend. We're monitoring you. Good catch. Thank you.
Imagine Stephanie's household budget.
Why she's here.
All right. Tech? Any questions for Tech? We are 1 minute away.
The only one was about the reduction in staff.
Right,
this might actually answer two questions. So Earlier in the year, the webmaster position had been moved from the tech department to the communications department, so that position still exists, which is in a different department. And as Paul had mentioned earlier, with the retirement of the senior network administrator, we reevaluated that position and we will not be replacing it. So that's really similar to the options.
Okay.
So just a quick question. I'm sorry. There's a bump in it's 10981, the software data processing. It's a bump for the 2015-16 budget. Does that include?
That's for licensing, software licensing, and primarily
we talked about that before.
For the management software for the Google environment for Chrome OS. So we're pushing those out to Franklin this year. That's where we'll see that increase.
Okay.
Communications.
So the one question that I had been given was related to the webmaster position. So the website is now being managed and the communication is
included. Any questions on communication? All right. With it being 7:25, I appreciate everybody. If you have further questions, please send those to me, and we'll make sure we get them on, and then we will get those out to the full board. As I said, we're going to be. This is a draft of the budget. We'll make those changes. This week we're going to be sending out all staffing guides to the buildings and the departments and ensure that everything is accounted for. And we will bring back the tentative budget on June 22nd. And once the board gives us approval to post it, we'll post it on June 23rd. If the board gives us that approval, it will sit out there for roughly 60 days, and then we would come back to it sometime in September, August. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. If you would each take your chair and move it back into...
I need to adjourn the meeting.
I apologize, but while you guys are moving, would you guys move your chairs back? And you go to...
thank you. Adjourn the meeting at 7:26 p.m. I have a motion to move adjourn the May 26, 2015 Finance Committee of the Whole. Motion by Mr. Elder, second by Mr. Bochensky. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you all.
Thank you.